Blog Talk Radio.
Out. That means I'll raise the bar, baby. That means I'll
got your attention. Girl, if I
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Epiphany Radio, the For Real Entertainment Network. Tonight is Let's Talk About It, where we do date night differently. The dial-in number, 319-527-6300, and by all means, please press 1. If you're already here and you desire to be a part of the conversation tonight and express your poetry, go ahead and press that 1. We're going to do open mic tonight anyways. So, I am your host, Van Meadows, a.k.a. Poetic, and tonight's show is sponsored by Raw Links. Why be average when you can be raw? I got mine. I hope you got yours. Let's give a huge shout out to our illustrious CEO, the one, the only, author Larry Maddox, a.k.a. For Real, the poet Douglas, who happens to be the CEO of Raw Links as well. Hit him up in his inbox, say thank you for Epiphany Radio, or go ahead and order you some Raw Links, some of the finest handcrafted jewels and gems you'll ever want to put around your wrists, your neck, ladies, even your ears. So, let me go ahead and do this piece so I can get that piece part out of the way. This is a piece called Match Me. Match me. Match my intensity. Be as fierce of an opponent as I can be whilst defending our continent. Show the world why you fight tooth and nail for something that deserves your blood, sweat, tears, and never be derailed. Match me. Match my passion for loyalty. Stop tearing me down and speak life while adjusting my crown. Show them how royalty looks while others read it in books. Match me. Match me by a safe space for me. For me to deposit my emotions and feelings without having to worry about my words being used against me and tear down my silver lining. The lining that lines my heart and keep it together with your honesty, where lies have not a single boundary. Match me. Match me with each breath as you breathe. Wear your heart on your sleeve like I wear mine. Show me we are an unstoppable force and it's fine. Help me see the horizon with the strength of your womanhood so I won't run. Match me. Match me with the pleasingly way you seduce my thoughts while physically giving me all I need to be a monstrous onslaught. One where man has no idea not to fear my skin color, but the unbroken mentality of a former slave owner. Match me. Match me in the field where dreams are realized, and for you I can help yours materialize. While under my umbrella of protection, you will not be harmed by my mental intent to have this paralleled connection. Match me. Match me with the same or if not greater of the love I give you, which resembles our Creator. As I love you unconditionally, and we send our condolences to a single life equally, we then hold each other with that look of excitement in our eyes for one another. So, baby, please hear me and just match me. And that's that piece. So, tonight's topic, this is a continuation show from 2 weeks ago. This is part 2. We discussed why are black men afraid to love black women and vice versa. Why are black women afraid to love black men? Tonight it's don't have that problem of being afraid to love each other when it comes to relationships. Or do they? Well, my thoughts is other cultures do have that issue. It's just not publicized and open to the way that we see it in the African-American community, somewhat shielded, somewhat hidden sometimes in other cultures, unless we see domestic violence cases indicating where, you know, someone has lost it of another race. But I'm not going to say other cultures. I'm going to say other people. Because we're all people and we all have some of the same issues when it relates to relationships, you know, cheating, lying, disloyal, mistrust, the list goes on. And it's a people thing, not necessarily a cultural thing. But for the sake of tonight's topic, do other cultures have that problem that we do in the black community? So I say yes. It's just not widely portrayed as we see it. So I'm curious to hear what you have to say tonight on this topic. I do have a caveat that I will be throwing in. So pay close attention because park there. We're going to expand a little further. Let me throw out this statistic real quick. Um, 20% of African American and Caucasian couples divorce compared with 13.5% of Hispanic Caucasian couples. 22% of Americans believe that multiracial kids are good for society. 42% of the U.S. intermarried couples between Hispanics and Caucasians, according to interracial relationship statistics. Interracial marriages became legal in America in 1967. So if other cultures don't have that problem like we do, then why do we have interracial relationships, which would seemingly say to me that, sure, other cultures do have that problem, which is why they seek outside of their race to find love. Or some of you may agree that it casually just happens. So there's the caveat. There's a caveat. So let's see what our first caller of the evening has to say on this topic. Welcome, one half host of the Love Zone, one half host of Poetic Therapy, ladies and gentlemen, Epiphany's own La Pearl La Negra. Hey, Danielle.
Hey, Van. How do I get, you know what, it's cool. I wasn't even ready, but I'm ready now. I'm good. Don't teach you that. Very, very good.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. So, what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on this? Let's talk about it.
Oh, okay. They absolutely do have issues, just like we do. But you know what the problem comes in at? We as a people have very strong personality traits. And because of that, we are, us being as expressive as we are, it's just something about our culture and just being a black person, period. We have no problem with expressing how we feel. And sometimes it can come off as a little harsh. And our issues, we have a tendency to make them public without really giving a fuck at times. Mm-hmm. And it's more emphasized on. And because it's more emphasized on, we are demonized for being so expressive. So it's not that we have more issues or that any others don't have as many as we do. We all have issues. It's just that we are very expressive, and it's made known. And it's always been like that, and it always will be like that. So that's my answer.
Nice. I like it. So, yeah, they do have issues. So what are your thoughts on that person that says, nah, we ain't got them kind of issues that y'all got when it comes to our relationships. We good over here. Then, sir,
you know what,
ma'am,
I'm saying?
Why y'all all cooped up with the black brother? Why y'all cooped up with the Asian sister? I'm right. Confused. Help me understand. I know love is love. You know, we're not looking at color. Love is love. However, the fact of the matter remains is that there are a lot of interracial couples. I mean, I have seen a decline in them, but they exist.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ask them, most of the time they'll say, well, I tried dating, you know, someone of my own race and it just didn't work out. Or I make a personal choice not to date within my race for various reasons.
Well, you know what I say to people? I don't care where you come from, what you look like, what your culture is. Everybody got issues. It's just some of us. Man, some people think that they're better at hiding it than others. That's all. And I live by that.
Nice.
I haven't seen too much. Thank you. Thank you. Almost lost my teeth off on this. Okay.
No, I appreciate you coming through and you know, doing part two to this show and opening up. Because it's dialogue that we need to have, you know. We need to focus and understand some things and just have a healthy conversation, you know.
Absolutely.
I can't wait till we talk about 2 weeks from now, that show, which is going to be very interesting. So, but now that we've gotten that out of the way, what piece did you bring for us tonight?
This is actually an older piece that I kind of tweaked a little bit, but it's still a piece. I actually have a title for it now.
All right. The mic is yours.
Thank you. This is called When You Know, You Know. You know, I came to realize that I don't have to move like them because my authentic fly is within myself. My swag is my swag. I'm a wounded healer, and you better believe I'm a beast at working through my pain. My resiliency comes from many friendships of betrayal. But this heart of mine doesn't have nine lives, so I do not pick at scars after I am healed. Got enough blemishes. I do not open old wounds because pain from heartbreak, bad memory, not that kind of pain that I draw pleasure from. My eyes are open, and I do not wish them to roam among the ruins of what was. So I keep my head towards the sky because it's easier for the guiding light to enter my heart. I smile because that part of healthiness is effortless, and it suits me. I live within learning and understanding because simplicity is the most beautiful thing in the world. But just because I've perfected repairing broken things, that doesn't mean that you get to look me in the eyes and lie at your convenience. See, in this circuit of life, it gets so hard to balance on a high wire. With my pen and one mic, I do have a safety net. And of course, and the course set for my flow of ink is constructed by the Most High, of course. All I want is to be treated like I deserve. So if the fact that my way of life is offensive simply because I don't stay down and I keep healing after damage is done, then just like vintage water and fire, exit stage with a hard left. But baby, only those who have known darkness can truly appreciate the light. It has. And you know, you know. And that's that piece.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. What a powerful piece. When you know, you know. But there was the line in that piece where you talk about only those that appreciate the darkness. That line, can you give me that line back again? I really like that line.
Oh, yeah. Because, baby, only those who have known darkness can truly appreciate the light.
Yes, yes, yes. Only those that have known darkness can appreciate the light. This is a beautiful piece. The tweaking that you did is definitely on point because it's even more powerful now than it was. And kudos to you, Phenomenal Inc.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Now, fellas, we're not doing this tonight. We are not doing this tonight. I promise you, you're going to get her. But right now, she's with me. And if it's a problem, we can discuss it later. But we're not doing this right now. Okay. So before I send you one over to the security team, can you let everybody know what you got going on?
Oh, sure I can. Alternating Saturday nights, ladies and gentlemen, with Poetic. I am one half host of Poetic Therapy, where I co-host with Stan the Man Phillips. And that is a place where you can relieve some mental stress through some open mic poetry and some healthy conversation. Every Wednesday night at 9, I am one half host of the Erotic Love Zone, where I co-host with my sexy, sultry voice diva, Miss VIP. Now, y'all know how we deal with the topic. It's up in the air, but I'm pretty sure whatever we come up with, y'all going to love it. Y'all come on by Wednesday night and get caught up in the Erotic Love Zone. Back to you, Poetic.
All right. Thank you so much for that. Y'all just heard where you can catch it. Hey, man, listen. Let me tell y'all something about the Erotic Love Zone. That's where you can come loose and let your erotic pen free. And they get nasty over there. Ooh, they get so nasty. So make sure y'all come by, tune in, and have yourself a good time over there. All right. Hey. Don't make me fire every last one of y'all, because I do it.
Oh, don't be threatening. Oh, come on now. They ain't that bad.
All right. Please get on over there to the VIP lounge.
Settle down.
Settle them down now. You know, I'm trying to be patient with them. I'm trying to be patient.
Oh, Lord. All right. One love, one bite.
Well, you take your socks off, baby. Peace.
Baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is La Pearl, La Negra, man. What a dynamic piece, and I love her take on tonight's topic. Let's keep this conversation going and expression of poetry with Mother of Dragons. Welcome to Let's Talk About It. How are you doing, love?
I am doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good for a Saturday. You know, it was a lazy Saturday. It rained really bad, and, you know, the kids... I got to post a picture of my kids. They kind of like came all at me all at once because I told them I'd take them to the Dollar Tree to, you know, get some candy and stuff like that. So they came at me. They came at me like some old gangster rappers with their hands crossed, you know, down in front of them. And they all looking at me like, yeah, you said you was taking us to the Dollar Tree. I said, oh,
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. And that's what you got to keep that promise with them.
So I'm gonna take on tomorrow, but I told him, I said I don't like this threatening feeling that I'm getting from y'all. They feel like my security team. But how you doing? You doing okay?
I'm doing. I did the same thing. I rested and it rained, so that just left me with guess what? More sleep, and that's what I did.
I know that's right. Ain't I'm wrong with sleep?
Yeah. I need it.
And I'm wrong with it. Absolutely. So let's get to this topic tonight.
Yes.
Let's talk about other cultures and their ability to love. The fear of loving one another, or afraid to fall in love with in that culture.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts? Do you think that other cultures are afraid to fall in love within their own culture?
I do not. I think because the constrictions are taken off of love in other cultures, whereas, you know, with our culture, there were so many constrictions placed on love. You know, we weren't always promised to be together. And our ancestors definitely had to do an uphill battle with just being able to stay in a relationship, much less not, you know, not knowing if that, if their location is going to be secured. So I think now I feel like Black love has been very publicized, and people are able to love, and we are now seeing that the I guess the whole thing with love, that we can love each other without having to have all these limits to it.
Absolutely. I can feel that. I can feel that. The other part, or the caveat, or the twist that I threw out there was, if other cultures are not having that issue as we are in our culture, then why do we have so many interracial relationships? Is it because... Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'll let you answer that.
Oh, go ahead. No, I'll let you speak.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it because there's a, you know, with the curiosity, or is it truly, you know what, hey, maybe the person that I'm supposed to be in love with isn't in my culture. Maybe she's of another culture. Maybe she's of another culture. Maybe, just maybe, that my soulmate or my twin flame is this other person that's not my culture. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I've done interracial dating. It's not for me, and here's why. It's because I think I realized in the end that, you know, I love my Black men, no matter what the dynamics that I think Black women feel like they place on Black men. You're not going to get a perfect man. even if you marry outside of your race, you're not going to get a perfect man. The perfection comes in the communication and with a understanding of each other. When you learn to understand that person's soul is when that perfection comes in. So I don't think that it's necessary, the answer is going to be to go outside of your race. I think what it is that you have to see and find out and know and realize what you love and what you want to love.
Right.
Once that's right, realized, you pull off those constructs off of it.
I love that. So we're not spending time with ourselves to see what we truly love. I'm not going to say all of us, but some of us. And that's why we end up with the person that we think we're supposed to be with. I mean, because I've said this several times, that there are several people out here in the world that fits exactly what you're looking for and what you want. There are multiple people that will fit that mold for you. But it's your ability to be able to say, okay, this is what I truly want versus what you believe.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mother Dragon.
That's it. You hit it on the nail. You hit it on the nail.
Oh, you're so awesome. Thank you so much. I love it. Y'all coming through tonight. Now that we've gotten that out of the way, what piece would you like to share with us tonight?
I just wrote this piece, so hopefully it comes off well, and I was just listening to you and Danielle, and I was just like, okay, I'm going to write something. So hopefully this is what I feel what love is.
Ooh, okay. The mic is yours.
Okay. I match energy. As I open my eyes with every molecule in me, we try to our exclusiveness. We vibe to our new potential. Metal genes entwine. I breathe your very essence. Souls connected on every planet, the blackest. The nightshade keeps us high off each other, and the outlet to become infused in a triangle, it dissolves. I delve into your mind bending the previous accessories. The magnificent center is your resilience. Our shadows dance on the walls as we make heat between our microaggressions, causing generational curses to break. through a kiss, a touch, a healing tongue that was spoken in an ancient dialect. And as we become, chains begin to fall. We are not our ancestors because we chose love. Blood and fire ignite our passions. We are the architect to our visions of what we are, which is freedom. That's that piece.
Ooh, I like this. Ooh, I really like this. We are not our ancestors because we chose love. Was that the wording?
Yes.
Oh man.
That's the wording.
Oh man. This is a fire piece, and I love the opening. You can match energy. Oh man, I love this piece.
Yeah.
This is a phenomenal write. And you just wrote this? You said you just wrote this?
I just wrote it maybe about 5 minutes ago. Yeah.
I'm digging it. I love it. I love the creativity that was spawned from this. And I'm enjoying your ink. So everything I hear from you, I'm loving it. I'm just loving it. And this was a little different from what I'm used to hearing. Because I was waiting for the, I'm sorry, y'all. We kind of like nerds up in here, and I was waiting for some of that in the piece. And when I didn't hear it, I was like, oh, okay, she's flexing the other side of her hemisphere brain muscles.
Yes.
Phenomenal, right? All right. So I forgot. I'm sorry, Danielle. I forgot to tell you. Tell y'all where the champagne is from tonight. Tonight, the champagne is from Rome. It's from Rome. So, you know, I'm not going to tell which one of the Vatican members, hooked me up. But the champagne is from Rome tonight.
I love it. So make sure
you get a glass and you get over there and you sip some and save some glasses for me. Because oftentimes when the champagne is good, I don't even get a glass, and I'm the one that orders it. So, yeah,
I'll save some for you. I definitely save some for you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Now get on over there. Just go past the VIP lounge that has La Perla Negra and the security team. Unless you're into voyeurism and those kinds of things. I mean, hey, I like to watch too. So, but I can't because I'm working. So. You know. But get on over there and have yourself a good time.
All right. Well, always, one mic.
One mic. Oh, you remember the prompt from last night? Shout out to J. Rob the Wise Son.
Yeah.
Not last night, the night before last, on the Get Down, the one mic prompt. Oh, man, it's a dynamic show. But thank you so much, Mother Dragons. Get on over to that VIP lounge and hang out. Enjoy the rest of the show.
Definitely will.
All right. One love, one mic.
One love, one mic.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is Mother of Dragons coming through with that phenomenal ink and her transparency on the topic tonight. Man, y'all got me excited. I'm ready to start writing. I'm ready to start writing some more. Next up on the mic, y'all, we have, we got us some wetness tonight. Hey, Rain.
What's going on, Dan?
How you feeling?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. It's a wonderful night for poetry, as for real. The poet would say, matter of fact, he would say something like this. It's such a wonderful night for poetry. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, you did that very well. I just talked to her last night. Yeah, you did that very, very well.
Appreciate
it is a beautiful night, and now I understand.
Now you understand.
I'm here for the plot twist. I'm here for the plot twist.
Absolutely. So, oh, man, yes. Thank you. So, the first part of the question is, other cultures don't have the problem of being afraid to love each other when it comes to relationships, or do they? What are your thoughts on that?
So there are layers to this. I don't know that it's a fear thing. And honestly, I know that the topic is about race and culture, but I think we're so busy trying to put parameters on love.
Come on.
That we miss it. However, so it's complex for me, as you know. There are layers to this. So
right.
I'm going to probably answer part of the second question in my answer. I have always dated outside of my race since I was 12. For those that are listening that don't know, I'm white. I have predominantly
That's debatable.
I get that, but it's, I actually recently had a gentleman tell me that I embody the black culture, right? And that we went on a date and that I never reminded him that he was black, and that hurt me. I was like, I need you to explain that to me because I don't understand why would, and apparently they grew up in a predominantly white area. Their friends would consistently, you know, they'd bring up watermelon and fried chicken. And to me, that's all very trivial. And so I don't want to get off track, and I definitely don't want to take up all the airtime. So it's just, I think that there are so many misconceptions. In the same breath of saying that I've always dated outside of my race, I am a fan of black love. I think it's necessary. I think it's needed. I have had, I don't seek out black men. I think it's more of a what I'm attracted to and the preference and what I vibe with. It's not that I wouldn't date any other races. I've dated Hispanic. I've dated, you know, Panamanian. I've dated mm-hmm. other. I had a short stint with a white guy, I think in early high school, maybe. And it just, we didn't vibe. And it was never, my friends have always been other cultures, not just black, but other cultures. And I find richness and I'm attracted and appreciate culture. And I don't know that I necessarily got it at home. You know, like I'm not really close
right.
to my family. I'm normally close with other people's family. But I think that black love is important. And I've had gentlemen come off to me thinking that they're about to impress me and say, I'll date black women. But now it's twofold. I mean, if your preference is dating other races, then that's your preference.
Right.
There are layers to that. If you don't date black women because you hate yourself and you feel like you, because it kind of boils down to the stereotypical what a lot of black men, you know, there is a stereotype that a lot of black men date white women because we're submissive and we do this and we do that and we're easy to get over on. So if that's what you're looking for over here, you're probably not going to find it. So you probably need to.
I know that's right.
There are so many layers to this. And for me, dating inside of my race has never been a fear. I don't know any, you know, I don't know where fear plays a factor. I do know that various dynamics, you know, going back to slavery, I understand the challenges in the black culture. And it's like, it's almost like there's one extreme where I only, you know, it's black love. And listen, again, I am a proponent for black love. I am not offended if you are not. I've had everyone I've ever dated I've always been the first white woman that they've dealt with. And I find that a lot of them are conflicted because they're not looking for me. They are mostly looking for a black woman, and I am by no means am I saying I am a black woman. I just think that there is something that is, race is never a factor when I'm in a relationship. I don't make it
a thing. I, raising my daughter, I was more concerned about teaching her culture than her father was. So I guess maybe growing up around other culture, I understand the importance of it. And so I don't know. I feel like I'm going way off, but I just feel like
you're doing a great job.
We put too many parameters on love. I think if we just kind of remove the parameters, but if you have a preference, there is more to Black love than just race and culture. It's keeping the culture alive, especially in our society. It's necessary. And there's nothing wrong with interracial. There's nothing. Half of the Black folks walking around here now have white blood in them because of slavery.
Correct.
But
correct.
Wanting to take that back, there's nothing wrong with wanting to take that back. Trying to get as far away from that bloodline, I don't see an issue with that either. So trying to get as far away from that bloodline, it's complicated.
It is. It is.
There are levels to this.
There are so many levels, and I love the way that you broke it down, because of your upbringing, where you've been, what you attract, right? You said a statement that I found very intriguing. You said that they're not looking for you, right? And I found that I found that very interesting, and that is usually how most interracial relationships start, because they're not looking for the other person. Something happens, and there's a genuine attraction, mental, physical, all of the above, that says, you know what, I really like you. There's a movie that I watched, and I actually enjoy the movie. And for those of you who have not seen it, it's called Something New, and it stars Sonali.
Oh, I love that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a beautiful movie, and she too. I don't want to give it away for those that haven't seen it, but she is very conflicted about dating this white man that she is truly attracted to because of what others think.
I want to make a point though. You said this in regards to interracial relationships, but shouldn't that be how love happens anyway?
Exactly. Yes, it should.
And again, that kind of goes back to the parameters that we put on love. But you're absolutely right. I agree.
Yep. And I said that in my opening comments is that. I said that we should stop looking at culture in terms of love because we're people and we breathe the same air, we bleed, we have common interests, and when it comes to love has nothing to do with color. Love has everything to do with that person that you're willing to be committed to because they're willing to be committed to, and you are sacrificing for each other to endure this life. So,
You're absolutely right. And you made another point, though. You had said earlier to Mother of Dragons, I really liked her comment as well. I think that you had said that there are several people out there for us. So for those people that are making a decision that they want to be with someone that is Black, that Black love is important, being that there are various people in this world that we are compatible with, probably, they make a choice to maybe if one of those is white or Japanese or whatever it may be, they may bypass that because that is not, they have made a decision that this is not what I want. This doesn't fulfill everything that I need for my family, for the legacy that I want to leave behind. And so they seek out. And maybe they're more compatible with one of the other ones, but be just as happy and content with this other, whoever that may be that they seek out. Mm-hmm. So I agree. Yes.
That's what I'm talking about. Ooh. Thank you for being transparent. I'm honored that you're here, and I'm glad that you brought yourself for the plot twist. So thank you.
I was like, uh-oh, what is this plot twist?
You know, I got to have one. I got to have one.
I was about to say, because I had no intention of calling. I was just going to listen to a show. You know, like, Van's got a show going on. Let me see what show's going on. I'm just going to listen in while I'm working.
And now,
I
look,
actually have a new
here piece. We are.
It's not about love, though. Ooh. It's it's kind of about love.
Yeah, it's open mic tonight. I didn't want to hold anyone's pens hostage tonight. I just really want to hear some good poetry and expression. So I'm going to let you go ahead, and the mic is yours.
All right, this is called The Truth Is. Ride with me for a second. I'm a sucker for a good conversationalist. Something about the exchange of energy, riding the wavelengths of playful banter and flirting with calculated intention. The truth is, you don't want me, but you want me to want you. It's a toxic, perpetuating cycle. You said you care about me. So really, it's hard for me to believe that you'd want me to starve while you force-feed me your lack of attention and affection. It makes me hate how your kiss tasted like a past lifetime, faintly familiar like sweet nostalgia. But you keep coming back for more, something like an encore. It couldn't be for namesake. I think you just really love how my truth tastes. Our connection is something cosmic, like a twin flame. You are a reflection of me in every way, almost. My fear is that you won't feel it until it's too late. It's funny how the universe works, knowing I'm no fool, crossing paths and passing. Am I a reason? A season, a lifetime, or perhaps just a lifeline? Was it me that resuscitated you, or was that you filling me with a new breath to see the beauty in me again? If I was to let myself feel anything, I would have fallen for you. But I refuse to fall when there is no one to catch me. See, you can't catch me with your hands full. Truth is, all I really want was for you to catch yourself. See, my heart refuses to get in a line just to die another tragic death so that yours can feel alive again. She didn't ask me to. You just kissed me like there was treasure buried beneath my tongue, sugar nestled in my throat, held me like your body's design was perfectly molded for mine, fingered my flesh like fragile pages for your next love poem. But that moment didn't last. No words expressed, no musings. We just left it all where it was, and you were on to the next. But you did say, you need more than I was capable of giving, and the truth is, we've always been on the same page. But I forgot. Forgot somewhere between 1 and 20, or was it room 120, between flesh and fingertips, between sapio conversations and sweet epiphanies. I forgot how to compartmentalize my whys. So rather than play the game of Russian roulette, rather than see how many times I could test it before I took one to the chest, I rewrote the script, remembering that we being just me and my heart, and we're not built for this. That's right.
Wow. There was so much in this piece that I loved. I know you said that it wasn't a love piece, but it was very much a love piece for me. You know, the opening lines, you've actually given me a title for a piece that I'm actually going to write as a response to this piece. This is some phenomenal ink. I mean, I felt this. It's very different when you hear a poem versus when you feel it. Because you said you're a sucker for a good conversationalist. This is awesome right here. I love this piece. I love this piece. Yeah, I got a title. I'll have a response within a day or two, maybe tonight, as a matter of fact.
Go ahead, because I want to reference back to Mother Dragon's something she said. Go ahead.
I was going to say that there was just so much to unpack in this piece, and it's like this piece you wrote with your soul. I know we always talk about writing without pen, writing without heart, but this you wrote with your soul, and I felt it. Go ahead.
That means a lot to me. It really does. It means a lot to me. And it's funny how this piece poured out of me. I didn't have to think about it. I kind of like had a shell of a piece, and then I just added to it, and it just flowed for me. And but you had talked about a good conversation with that line, and I think communication for me is huge in relationships and friendships. And I'm a pretty good communicator, but the Mother Dragons talked about something earlier, and she was talking about, I forget exactly how she phrased it, but she was saying that communication is basically the foundation of those relationships. That's the key component for a successful relationship in any race. And I think that applies to any type of relationship. I am guilty for being a ponderer. Like I marinate. When there are crossroads, or when there is challenges, I will sometimes retreat and marinate so that I don't. And I've done this in family relationships, friendships, relationships. I will pull back completely so that I can fully, like, think about the thing that is happening, as to not damage what is the relationship itself. But yeah, communication and conversation is huge for me.
Definitely huge.
It's so necessary. Because there's going to be a time when that's all we got.
That's all we got. Absolutely. And I tell you, there are two things that if you can work out these two things within a relationship, then I believe you'll have the most successful relationship in the world. One of those things is communication. The other thing is selfishness. Mm-hmm. If you can make those two things be the priority, one, having communication above all else, and two, eliminating selfishness. Yeah.
And I think selfishness ties into the communication, because we're selfish, right? We do selfish things, but if we communicate our needs, then there's really no need to be selfish.
Absolutely. Yep. All right, Rain.
This has been enlightening. Thank you for the space. Sorry to take up so much room.
No. What's the name of this show? Let's Talk About It, where we do day and night differently.
That is the name of the show.
Absolutely. One thing we're going to do here is we're going to talk. That's what we're going to do. So thank you for being transparent. Thank you for coming and just sharing yourself with us. One, as a person. And then two, as a poet. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you. Bye-bye.
Now, get on One Love, One Mic. Now, get on over there to that VIP and get you some of that champagne from Rome. Mother Dragon says she's going to save me a glass. I mean, I think I need somebody to save me a bottle.
It's
Mother Dragon.
You saving yourself, because I was about to go take
right.
it home. But, you
see,
said Rome.
See.
You know, I went directly to the singers. But, you know, it's a
I know
whole
it. I know it. I know it. All right, love. One love, one mic.
All right. One love, one mic.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is Rain blessing us with her greatness. I love it. Love it.
Oh, this is Pauly. Let the church say amen. La da dee la la la. La da la la la. La la la.
listening to Epiphany Radio.
Oh, well, excuse me.
On the For Real Entertainment Network.
Oh, well, he sound like he come from England or something. I don't know. La, 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 dee, da, da, la, la, da, da, dee, da, da, la, 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 la. Epiphany Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are tuned in to Epiphany Radio, the For Real Entertainment Network. Tonight, it's Let's Talk About It, where we do date night differently. I am your host, Van Meadows, a.k.a. Poetic. The dial-in number, if you're listening in online, is 319-527-6300. And by all means, press 1. And if you're already here and you desire to talk about the topic tonight and share some poetry, go ahead and press 1. Now, let's bring in our next caller. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the latest host of Epiphany on Epiphany Radio. If you missed his show last week, well, guess what? He'll be back this coming week. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you anonymity. What's good, bro?
What's good, King? How you?
Oh, man, I'm doing phenomenal, brother. How you feeling?
Man, I'm chilling, sitting here. I had the game on, was writing, and called in, caught the topic. I love the topic, absolutely love the topic. I think it's very interesting, and I'm glad I called in on the right night.
Absolutely. You know, I would love, I'm telling you, I would love to take credit for this topic, but since Epiphany Radio is for the poets and for the people, this topic was given to me by the great Tila Shao. So I humbly bow to her for this topic because it has sparked some of the greatest conversations around relationships and just how we see them, you know. So thank you, brother. I'm glad you're here, man. It's good to hear you, man. You been doing okay?
Oh, man, I'm chilling, working hard as usual, and you know, Tila Sal, man, she never ceases to amaze. Got to give her a quick shout out just thinking about, you know, hearing her voice on the Get Down show that time. And such a beautiful voice. And then she comes up with a topic like that, never ceases to amaze. So big shout out to her for this topic. And,
Absolutely.
Yeah, man. I'm listening, man. I'm here to chill with you tonight. So what's good with you? I want to hold nobody else up, but I ain't.
No, absolutely not. You good, bro? You good? I just want to hear what you feel on the topic. So let's talk about it, man. Other cultures, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, 2 weeks ago we talked about why are black men afraid to love black women and vice versa. Black women afraid to love black men. So now, tonight we're discussing other cultures don't have that problem, or do they, of being afraid to love someone, being afraid to love, you know. And the second part of the question certainly is, if they don't have the problem, how is it that we have interracial dating, right? So I'm excited to hear your thoughts because I know your background, so go ahead, bro. Let's talk about it.
You know, I would first have to say there's layers to this topic. There's layers. So I'm going to do my best to address, to make sure I'm answering, you know, my thoughts on both sides of the coin, if you will. As far as do other cultures have, are they afraid to love within their culture? I would not say they're afraid. I actually would say other cultures are often molded, raised, if you will. Many other cultures are raised, if you will, to do just that. We come from a society, from our ancestry, that often segregates in its own way, whether forced or volunteered. There was division as a people. So I believe that some things that we might have seen growing up as a norm affected things. I also think that there's also the side that caused the rebellion, if you will, in certain with interracial dating. Now, as far as our culture, okay? Our culture is unique because our culture, you know, I sit back and I listen to some of the music that we hear today.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about, you know, the references from, I'm going to call some of our brothers who don't even recognize their royalty yet and refer to our women, our young girls, our teenagers, we hear it as in bitches and hoes.
Right.
And this is adopted in our culture. That's one of the reasons I do celebrate Black Love, because to see two people come together and see the value, the true value of what we bring to one another, the chemistry, the harmony, if you will. In our culture, I feel as though we have to overcome for that. We live in a society often where our sons and our daughters are clueless of what the male representation of the kings that we are should be. We're either absent, and many of us, unfortunately, you see it, and, you know, a lot of it is attributed to, I'm not even going to put it in any category to say poverty or anything like that. I'm going to put it to what it is. It's in ignorance. It's not even ignorance. It's just in the oppression of self, to not want to rise above, not to have the desire, because we are not bound by any, we can rise above anything to come together, but our society, I mean, we talk about this language that we speak in poetry, and we wonder why you don't turn on the radio and hear lyrics, because that's so profound, meaning behind a message they don't want to get out. Because it feels too deep.
Right.
It feels too deep.
Right.
It's too real. When you sit back and we talk about poets, I admire poets. Because poets have an ability to see beauty in everything around them despite their consequence, their surroundings, their upbringings. They have beauty to be able to speak out and express and see art in it. So
that's right. That's right.
From a societal perspective, as a people, we are unique because we have to overcome a level. We start from a foundation that's kind of underneath. You see what I'm saying? In our own country, we have to fight to get equality. And the place that that our ancestors were brought to involuntarily, however you want to look at it, and then we had to come. We start off as a people from working as without wage to working for minimum wage because we were not allowed to be educated. And when books and things were came during the days of segregation, books were allocated according to the segregation. And if you were a minority, you got less. So we didn't get the same things. And the people that earned off the backs of our labor are the ones that ended up with the factories, et cetera, and so forth. We end up working for the minimum wage at the same place as the plantations that were grown. And yes, we've overcome that, but we're still even fighting for inequality. Now we've come a long way. But in our society, the thing that gets me the most, I guess, is that when I do turn on and see the glorified depiction of how we treat one another and the things that we accept as a culture, to sit back and call my daughter a bitch, you have a problem. I don't care if you're a husband. You would never be I never gave her to you. Because you don't recognize the royalty and the woman that I raised,
right?
So,
right.
There's a lot of and it's sad because a lot of from a societal point of view, again, like anything else in our culture, we had to fight just to get on level ground. So when you're born into a society where dad is already X'd out or didn't realize who he is, and he might have about 12 or 13, you know, of their families out there just running around, just no type of value, moral. And then what becomes the role model is what's seen on TV or possibly the abusive boyfriend or maybe everybody. Who knows what this child is watching, and as he grows up and becomes a man, or she becomes a woman, what is her expectation of
right.
love in our culture?
Right.
So, you know, I know that's a big, I came a big way, man, but this is a very, 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 like I said, it's layers.
Yeah, there's so many layers, you know, because, you know, I also talked about the percentages of interracial couples and so forth. And, you know, and Rain was just talking about it too. You know, she's an advocate for black love, and it's kind of difficult, you know, in her position. You know, she's a white woman, and she attracts black men, you know. She vibes with black men. And I'm like, check this out.
Mm-hmm. Listen, first and foremost,
race off the table.
Just to talk about Rain for a second. Never had the privilege of meeting. I don't even really know if we're connected on Facebook, but oh my goodness, that ink right there.
Yes, man. Yes, yes, yes.
Oh my goodness. I understand
mm-hmm.
why she attracts what she attracts and who she is. I can just all
right.
the what pour
right.
out of her pen.
Yes.
So big shout out. I'm a huge fan. Huge fan. That I don't. I'm a realist. That poem right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, man. Mm. I'm looking forward to inking a response piece to that.
I want to read.
Because I felt it. I felt
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
You know what I'm saying? It's like when you get a craving for your favorite food, and you
mm-hmm.
want that. That's all you want. There's nothing going to stop you from getting it. That's how the response within me. It's
mm-hmm.
burning right
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this show, the poems that I heard thus far on this show, from the beginning when you started
mm-hmm.
leading up everything, this is just, it's a very, very, very dope topic. And, you know, you hear the pen, what I call the pen bleeding on this love topic.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's truly amazing what pours, man. It's ink bleeding to hear the emotion hit the paper, and you hear it come out the way it was intended. It's just
absolutely.
It's dope, dope, dope ink. But
absolutely.
Yeah, man. But this
I
topic,
appreciate that, brother.
This topic, yes. And I loved her perspective, Rain's perspective.
Absolutely,
you know,
absolutely.
Coming from the outside of black love, embracing
right.
black love.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Like,
right.
like that right there. I mean, look, whatever. Hey, she is embracing this culture. I'll say it for self. You understand what I'm saying when I say, man,
yeah.
just to be able
Absolutely.
To pour
Absolutely.
What pours out in her
man.
Perspectives and. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love said, you know, some of the black men that she meets or the perception, I believe what she said was that, you know, we think that white women are more submissive. She's like, yeah, then they probably not going to want to come over this way.
mm-hmm.
I love it, man. I just love it. Love it. But now that we got the talk component out of the way, brother, what piece would you like to share with the family tonight?
You know, I had two staring at me, and maybe you helped me choose one. One, I'm not even sure if it was heard, but it's, you know, for the top, we talk about love. This is love and promises. It's a message to the brothers. Or I got
okay.
one from a more personal standpoint, a little darker, called Time Won't Give Me Time on the bad side of love. So I could go either way, man.
Hey, I want to hear both, but I'm leaning more towards the poem for the brothers because we need more of us
mm-hmm.
talking to each other about love, which is why, you know,
mm-hmm.
this format exists because it's very important to
yes.
me. So the mic is yours, bro.
Yes. The The first time she tells you she loves you, your heart may flutter, knees will tremble, and your next breath might be held captive by the fear of commitment. You may begin to question the seriousness of your so-called relationship, thinking, how could the intent of having a one-night stand lead to this? Yet, your greatest fears will begin to take shape in the form of her touching another. So instead of being honest with self, you fall victim to the selfishness of your own immaturity, placing promise rings around broken dreams in an attempt to justify the weakness of your own insecurities. But I will tell you, the first time she tells you that she loves you, think first. Let your heart be your voice. Silence your pride with every bit of strength you can muster in an attempt to save your own life. I know, for I've walked many miles in those shoes, lost in a maze of dead ends before storm clouds finally released raindrops upon my vision, teaching me a hard life lesson like an expression of God's dismay since the genesis of my being began in the womb of a queen before being adopted by a love conceived in her image only to lose it to selfish pride. See, I've been adorned in the bondage of heartstrings, warned that my ego could be the death of me, so I suggest that you listen. Do you know how it feels to curse the sunrise, enslaved by the promise of tomorrow? And although I know we are not promised tomorrow, I know that I was punished by that promise, since tomorrow taunted me for 423 days, 13 hours, 52 seconds, and one final teardrop before God finally submitted his mercy upon me. That does not mean she came back home. That's just how long I could take it. That's just how long it took before I could accept she was gone. So I admonish you, my brother. First time she tells you that she loves you, look her square in the eyes, swallow your pride, and don't make any fucking promises you can't keep. End peace.
Ooh, oh my God. Oh my God. Bro, first of all, Dope Ink. Well written, well crafted.
Appreciate that.
I love the message. But that close was so strong and so powerful. The first time she says, I love you, don't make any promises that you can't keep. Bro, you know how serious that is? Listening to your piece, I wrote down this topic for a future show on Let's Talk About It. Who says I love you first? And does it matter? Because listening to this piece, ladies, men are afraid to tell you that they love you first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's true. Mm-hmm.
Because we fear the rejection of telling you that I love you.
Mm-hmm.
So we will purposely hold back our I love you until you say it first. And, bro, that cloak and that piece lets me know it's like, yo, oh, my gosh, she said I love you. I'm not ready. I'm not there yet. But you know what? I'm just going to say it back. I love you too. That's the worst thing a man can do. That is the worst thing a man can do. Because when a woman reaches that deep and she's been with you and she loves you like that, the worst thing a man can do is say it back just as a response, because he doesn't feel the same way. Because she's preparing for future with you.
Mm-hmm.
And for you to just casually just say it back, brother, don't make that promise if you can't keep it. And then there's that awkward moment of Ooh, yeah. Thank you? Is that an appropriate response? Thank you?
Right.
Right? A man has to go through all of these things in his head before he gives a response.
True, true, true.
Oh, my God, bro. This piece pulls so much out. Oh, man, I love the piece, bro. Dynamic Ink, as always. I'm glad I chose this piece because it needed to be heard. It needed to be spoken, and many men need to hear it. And we need to hold each other accountable more as men.
That part. I totally agree. You know, I love when, you know, I speak to some of my brothers and we address each other as king. You know, I don't give the title. I won't call a man a king if he's anything less than royal. If he can't recognize his accountability in this society, what his imprint, what his thumbprint, footprint is in this society, if he can't take accountability
right.
for that, then no, sir.
Right.
I will not
right.
address you as king.
Right. Right.
So,
amen.
When I sit back and uh huh.
And I was going to say, man, and the brothers who are in Epiphany, we hold each other accountable.
Yes.
We make sure we check in each other. I mean,
mm-hmm.
we might laugh and joke, but outside of what we do here, we are having communications, we are talking, we are going out, this is how we hold each other accountable. If I'm having a problem, I think I'm going to find a problem. But then, yo, trust me, what is it? You think I'm never holding because I'm raising men.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's my phone starting to break. Can you hear me? Did I lose you? I'm still there.
No. You're still here.
Okay. There we go. It started getting choppy, but I just moved around a little bit. But yeah,
but,
man, listen. Black love, it brings things out, bro, brother. Brings things out. I love it. Love it. Love it.
And I'm gonna tell you a conversation that we're gonna have, ladies and gentlemen, in the future. We're gonna have men black love, and I'm talking about from a relation standpoint that we're gonna be together. But just the fact that it's okay
mm-hmm.
for me to say I love you, bro. We're gonna have that conversation. Ah, man, I love it, man. Before I get you over to the VIP lounge, man, to get you some of that champagne from Rome, man. Hey, and let everybody know what you got going on in the Epiphany Radio universe.
Well, every other Friday, which means this coming Friday is that Friday, Anonymity hosts Iron Sharpens Iron, A Royal Pen's Perspective. It's the place to come in and share ink, new ink, old ink you want critique on, ink you want someone to fill. Just bring your ink. But the concept of the show is that as we listen to your ink, we want to know if your pen, what it delivered, are you doing your own pen justice? We understand there's a bar that you set when we hear you. And we look for that. Even if you change your flow or change something, we just look for you to bring that level. And if you're not bringing that level, we take opportunity to talk about it. If we deliver a piece, myself, or if I have a co-host for the show, and you want to give some feedback on our piece, we ask you to do that for us. It helps me personally to elevate my pen. So it's just a great, great vibe. We come on there, man, and I'll tell you, thus far, two shows in, it has been nothing but phenomenal ink, nothing but phenomenal flow. So if you want to hear some great poetry, you're not doing anything Friday night at 10 p.m., come on and stop through to the Epiphany family. Join the Iron Sharpens Iron show. I'll be there, your host, Anonymity. Ready to hear some dope ink and share some things that I got going on in my own head. It's a lot going on there. You won't be bored. I promise you that.
I love it. I love it. I love it. make sure y'all tune in. With my brother, get over to that VIP lounge. Oh, man. Fire Inc. Anonymity, y'all. Make sure y'all check in this coming Friday with this brother. And, hey, write something new. Challenge yourself. Let the
iron
brother,
shine. Oh, I thought you were saying me. I said, I got some things in the works. But, yes, continue. Please continue, my brother.
Absolutely, bro. Appreciate you, man. I appreciate you, brother. All right, man. One love, one mic. Continue taking your socks off.
One love, one mic.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is Anonymity. Whew. Host of Iron Sharpens Iron. Hey, man, let's listen. I'm excited, man. Let's keep this party going. We got Epiphany's own Mr. Tuesday Night Iron Man himself, Mojave, is in the building. What's good with you, Hive?
What's happening, Zan? What's just good?
What's happening, bro? How you feeling, man?
You know, I'm breathing. That's good. Please don't cough like that. But
that's all right, bro. That's all right, bro. You sound a lot better too, man. I'm glad your recovery is going well. You sound a lot better.
Yeah. Well, you gotta try, man. You gotta try. So, to the topic, you would say. Let me let you phrase it before I hop into it.
No, absolutely, bro, absolutely. So, tonight we're talking about other cultures don't have the problem of being afraid to love each other when it comes to the relationship component, or do they? And, of course, I got the plot twist, if you will. If they don't have the problem with or they are not afraid of loving each other, then where does the interracial dating aspect fall into play? Is that a sign that they do have problems, or is it just that they found love on such a level that they're willing to take a chance and step out of their realm of culture? Let's talk about it.
Okay, I disagree. Every culture has problems with love. Every single one.
Yes, sir.
Nobody mm-hmm. is immune to love problems or finding things. It's just different things. There's no culture that helps people to find each other easier. Arranged marriages, dowries, all that good stuff. Depending on the culture that you come from or religion you practice, love to go there. It could be an arranged marriage or anything else. It's not exactly love. It's kind of like a business arrangement. But if we're talking about the differences, you know, and I know we've heard some great stuff from Wayne and Sincere, literally, how people see things when we talk about it. But when we talk about being afraid to love each other, it's because you literally have something constantly pulling at you, trying to keep you apart, whether you like it or not. It's, you know, whether it be the culture, social media, anything else. You know, there's always been these things that have been engraved. You know, the Moynihan Report, you know, welfare, you know, whose shoes fit under your mother's bed. And that's the fact of being able to separate anything else from someone to make sure that these two people don't get together and really figure out what it is that they love. I'm a big proponent of love who you love. Love who loves you the way that you want to be loved. Doesn't matter the culture or where they come from.
Doesn't matter the culture. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Doesn't matter the culture where you come from, because love is love. You know, if you ask me about what it is to see certain things, I could point out to you the social anxiety and ingrainment of certain things to try to keep us. So, you know, we joke about it all the time because we know about it. We talk about light skin privileges, dark skin privileges, good hair, bad hair. All of these different things have been put in from the enslavement, Willie Lynch theory, all this other stuff that goes on, and making it really hard for people to understand each other because we want to make sure that these things are happening. And so
right.
we go for the okie doke. And we start to either elevate or you know, or descend the person in front of us because they don't meet a certain standard or anything else like that. Like, we talk about this stuff with workouts all the time, so, you know, this is easy peasy stuff.
Absolutely.
Where, you know,
absolutely.
Somebody, well, you know, black women are the most educated people in the world, but they're so lonely because of this, such, and such. I have to ask about who created the standard in order for this to happen. who said that you had to, you know, marry somebody on your level? And why do we have to try to put in terms economically somebody being unequally yoked? How does that happen?
Right.
Why
right.
can't base it off of comparison, their willingness and their ability to do so? So that in itself becomes problematic because we're so busy focusing on what we need to get forward in the world instead of what we need to get forward as a family. Now, as a fact, right, if you take a ghetto, which is a construct to create high-density living, to create all kinds of things and violence and everything else, and I'm not comparing us to rats, but when they put rats into a high-density living situation, you know, the strongest would survive, the weakest would get killed, and it'd be done to wait. And when there wasn't no space, they'd kill people. They'd kill other rats to make the space, right? Very similar
right.
to our ghettos,
mm-hmm.
very similar to the point that most of our ghettos, before they become successful, they ran highways through them, all kinds of things, because it's purposeful, right? But it's also known that if you take families on a block, married, successful, quote-unquote middle economics, if you put them on the block will balance itself out. That block will become a greater block because people care about what it is that they have. There's a failure to pass with the coach. There's a lack of coaching. There's a lack of image. There's a lack of successful people showing people what it is to actually love each other because we don't see it in the media. We don't hear it in our music and anything else. The record companies would rather pay for, you know, bitch, I kill you, let me slap you, you a hoe, get on the strip, as opposed to, you know, a woman, I oppose you, I exalt you. I want to make sure that our family is good. Let's earn and build together.
Right,
you know?
Right.
You don't get
right.
that. You know, all the other shit. Right, we get all the trap music like motherfuckers, you know, hey, sell drugs, do all this other stuff, do all these things, because there's a self-fulfilling fantasy, and that's why people really don't understand that rules are different no matter where we go, especially in law. You know, we get arrested, we get the book thrown at us, and other people get a slap on their wrist, and that's
yes,
the point where about the point, not just bring this because I know it's outside, but it's a little parking lot where Mike Brown was considered a full-grown man at 18, and this kid who shot everybody, who murdered everybody, was a teenager. And again, they took him without incident. You know, it's because we're not showing each other exactly what the love is and how it is that we're supposed to be with each other. And so
Absolutely.
We have to begin the point of loving each other. I am very thankful for the people who surround me who provide good examples of love at all times. I'm very good at, I'm like beyond, like if I could write a story about how you are as a father, what you put into being a father, and I know it's going to pay off because I know it paid off for me. So I know that all this work that you do to make sure that your children know that they're loved, you know, the pictures of you at your father's daughter,
yeah.
And to see how happy your daughter is, to see the smiles, that's what we should exist for. That's what the love should be based around when we talk about why should we be afraid of loving each other. Now, me, myself, I've been an equal opportunity lover. My children, by saying from that.
I like that.
You know, my son is DR, and he's like, yo, why does everybody keep talking to me in Spanish? They think I'm Dominican. Kind of part. To the point where it's you know, I'm a big proponent of love who loves you, you know, and your culture, as long as you're coaching, you bring your culture forth and make sure that your child is not devoid of your culture, you should be fine. You know, what anything else happens. But fear of loving, it's a fear of actually really figuring out, like what's the poem goes, you know, we're not afraid of the dark, we're afraid of our light. And love is like, I think people are more afraid to actually give love, like when we talk about being vulnerable as men. You know, we get, you know, on the 50, we get a lot of compliments because we're not afraid to say what our shit is, you know, and being transparent because we've learned love a certain way. You know, and some men can't do it. And they can't do it. And so it's very hard for people to be transparent when there's so many other stakes and so many games being played and there's so many other things that are happening. You know, I'm a big proponent of, like, love. you ain't in until you got a ring. You got a ring or something? Yeah. That's when you're in, right? But at the same time, it's like to build to that point, the railroad is like right. It's built at a point. It takes people learning to be coached, be told, be shared, you know, like anything else. Like one thing with Rain, like my oldest brother, like many of my brothers married women who were white and had very successful marriages. My sister-in-law, Irene, is my sister. You can't tell me nothing. She calls me up. She's like, I want to talk to my brother. Like, literally, she would be on some craziness and call me. She'd be like, she's like, I had to call my little brother. She called me up, and I had to bring her to the hospital to be my mother. And it was, like, this great big celebration. And I'm like, we didn't see, like, you know, most people say we didn't see color. We only saw love. When people say they don't see
that's
color,
right.
Emotion, so they say they only see love. I see love. When I see love, love supersedes almost anything that you can possibly think of. And so when you're in love with people, you're in love with people. And the product thereof that comes from that, because of that love, is the most important thing that should occur. And for us,
sure.
You know, like men, we have a lot of work to do for ourselves. I know I'm always trying to figure out how to work on myself because I got to do it. But at the same time, I have to be able to stand tall in order to exist as an example for my children. You know, exist, for example, for my daughter, exist, you know, for people to be able to relate to me and relay to me anything that I need within the prostitute. So I don't think it is fear. I don't think that it's like we're afraid. I think it's a fear of what could actually go right if we did. What would actually happen
if people
began to love the way they were supposed to be loving each other? Because a lot of things would change. A lot of stuff would happen. But you know for a fact, like anything else, like we would supersede and move beyond. You know, it's kind of like when we look at soul food and the relationships in this, Cosby Show, they were like, wait a second, oh, how's a lawyer and a doctor? And yet we're looking at most of our lawyers and doctors come out of historic black universities and colleges, and how it produces 80%, you know? So
exactly.
People,
exactly.
But, yeah.
I mean, you know, I like what you said, ladies and gentlemen. Mojave said he's an equal opportunity lover. Let that one sit there in his very white voice. But you raise a whole lot of valid points. We as black men do have a lot of work to do, but there's some of us that are getting it right. You know, I think the one thing that I want my daughters to know is not to accept anything less from a man that isn't willing to do what your father do for you. And I don't necessarily care whether or not that man be black, whether that man be white, because people are love. They're supposed to be love. It don't matter. If that's what you like, that's what you like. If they are loving my daughters correctly, and vice versa with my sons, same thing. If that's what you like, that's what you like. If they're treating you right, then, hey, cool. Just make sure you treat them right in the process. So great points that you made, Javi. Great, great points, man. I appreciate you for being transparent and expressing yourself as you always do. Now, what piece you got for us tonight? Javi, did you just go mute?
Bad. Yeah, I was going mute because the phone was in my I was like, how are you running two of these at the same time? This is kind of crazy. Wait a second. I'm getting. I just got a bunch of messages. I just went in and said, oh my God, this is nuts. If Rain is still on, Danielle says, yeah, your inbox says it's unavailable. So that's what she wrote me to say to Ray, if she's still on. All right. What do I got? Hold on. All right, let me cough real quick. Okay. Let me see. What do I got? Okay. I think I have this. Wait a second. Okay, wait, what the heck? Oh, okay, I'm on the wrong thing. I'm like, what is this? All right.
Now you get, bro.
All right, you ready?
Yep, the mic is yours.
Listen, this is weird. Okay, let's try this out. Tell me if this is too. You got to check my levels because, you know, sometimes it'd be off and I can't tell. That's much.
Turn it down just a little bit.
How's that?
That's too low. Perfect.
Okay. All right. Hello. You. I've been asking for an answer. So I got down on my knees and I prayed for someone like you. I asked for someone to be intelligent, wise beyond years, spare these precious moments, be beautiful in every way. Like how your smile could brighten my day, illuminate my night, make my eyes smile when you come into sight. Love you the way delicious hot cooked food arrives to the table, and I am able to push the world onto my shoulders, ready to bear the weight of it, because I had to wait for it. I had to wait for you, your love, this kiss, this hug. I walked the world without you, and now I can't see this moment without you, the way you cross open to a conversation that builds and fills each other with elation. You our joy. And it doesn't hurt that your soul intertwines with mine, that hits the good part of a song and the selector hits rewind, because you are the constant cure of a love most sure. And I am sure that you don't even know that yet. Money in the bank, an on-point bet, a reminder that God has not finished the blessing yet. You. If I was to get married again, I'd want you to be kind, considerate, loving, strong hands, rhythmic, artsy, dressy, maybe shorter than me, taller, same size, doesn't matter. Family-centered, cute toes, multi-orgasmic, let you be someone that reminds me the best of myself, with a heartbeat, with soul walking outside of me, that returns each time I open my arms. And it's hard to describe what that feels like, to know that love like this is unyielding, plentiful, connective, cultured, loving. And when I'll know is when I'll get used to knowing what it feels like to lose or sit with sorrow or loss, curses and furrowed brow, the start to sharpen expressions that finally speaks some type of hate, because I can't be with you or around you. When I seem to know, it seems that every time you speak, the lights grow brighter, atmosphere feel easy, I can breathe, essence relieved me, my heart breathed by scale was less than that of a feather, the weather was not a matter, the issue that stole the struggle of emotional muscle into light tissue, but I could feel you, you could touch me there, I would stare and marvel at your beauty and think that you can take this walk into love with me, speak sweet like honey. Tea always hot, soothes me, caresses my throat, wraps around me, firm in possession, not possessive, speaks to my inner being. And I can hear this desire speak, and we've not even touched yet. I feel like this is one of a thousand lifetimes that we have not been with each other, timeless kisses between lovers here, and only here is how we know that love is eternal. And when I meet you, I will know that we didn't occur or spur of the moment. This easy combo of symphony crescendo that paints my eyes, mine's eye shape, your smile of logo and tuvial file. You'll be hip-hop, slow jazz with a side of gospel. As I hear the sound of a sovereign love spell, the way that God, John Coltrane can blow blue jazz. You like my yay like jazz, and you don't get to feel that way every day. But shapes and colors floating. I knew that you came to push me at our complacency, into compliance of chasing my wildest dreams, that to seem to love herself in the fire is just not just fierce, but pissed to my heart the way where the oxbox used to be, that lay calm to ensure that there anyone that gets off of the sun. Speak blood red wounds, release monsoons, and when you say that you are ready, that's for me to be angry. The acting word on loving her was sainthood. A divine order, the art of empty hands, the command of a full heart, the knowing of plans, and each kiss secures the ancestors' wish to be continued, to be fruitful, possible, pushed beyond the negative that threatens to steal the whole of us. You are my trust. This is love with no lust. Agape love. The song of Solomon, Ruth and Boaz. You are a blessing of the divine, which made me pray for you to be mine. And he who findeth a wife findeth a good thing. And when I found her, I found me. The best rhyme for all the light that you bring, the reason why I sing. You are the reason that I call me. Call you clean, which makes me clean. And whenever I meet her and this time the place exists, I will tell my first wife, I've been waiting all my life for your hand forever. Eternal bliss. Smooth, a little close. I've been waiting for your kiss. And that's the piece.
Yo. First of all, dope ink. Very rarely am I left speechless when I hear a piece. There was so much about this piece that I just I stopped taking notes and I just listened to the piece. I love the lines when you talked about being the best version of yourself. I love the line where you was talking about. That line grabbed me like nobody's business. Like R&B with a touch of jazz, or R&B jazz with a touch of gospel, something like that. You said in that line. That's deep on so many levels when it comes to the love dynamic. And then you talk about the Song of Solomon, bro. This was a brilliant piece of ink, well written. You definitely pulled on the heartstrings with this piece, but it was very mellow, very soft, and very love endearing. Phenomenal piece, bro. Phenomenal piece.
I'll try.
Man, you do more than try. Don't. We're not gonna do that tonight. He tried. We're not gonna do that tonight.
I was super dope, like for real to somebody. But you know, I firmly believe that whatever you want, she can go and you can pay for it and push it out into the universe.
Absolutely. Absolutely, I love what you did with it, man. It's definitely in the universe right now. But before I send you on over to that VIP lounge, get you some of that champagne from Rome, let everybody know, oh, man, y'all don't know. Let everybody know what's popping off this coming Tuesday night.
You know what's happening this Tuesday night. It's going to be the worst form of debauchery ever. It is 102.0 Kiss. Featuring five incredibly nubile, intelligent, beautiful, and incredibly dope women that are going to be doing some serious, serious poetry. It is going to be off the chain. It's the return of Passionate Poet, who just dropped this joint online. That was a little crazy. It was like, so I'm seeing it. And then you're going to have Honey Dip, Katarina, Secret Emotions, and also D. Magwood. It's going to be, I've never had five features before, but I don't care, because last time we had to talk to the ladies, and we're going to let the ladies talk to us. Gentlemen, I'm just warning you. I'm just going to tell you, just be prepared, get your ice pack, whatever you got to do to focus. Just get yourself ready. It's just going to be terrible. I'm just telling you right now, like, I've heard a couple pieces from Honey Dip and Katarina, and they're going to really just come for people, and I'm just like, I'm here for it. But, you know, but since we're on it, tomorrow, if you have to come in, the Honey Dip is going to be in our regular slot. We're pitching Woo tomorrow, so we're going to call out poems for people. We're pitching Woo. We're sending out. We're shooting shots. We're doing it all tomorrow. We're doing it all tomorrow. It's going to be very terrible, and we're working on the playlist right now as we speak. It's going to be real filthy and dirty and disgusting. Well, not disgusting. But, you know, this really, really soon. This is going to happen. Yeah.
There it is.
Now, tomorrow and Tuesday, really soon. You know, I'm just saying. We'll be back to Beautifully Dope Stuff the week after. But, you know, this Sunday and Tuesday, yeah. Dope.
All right.
We're ready to go.
I can't wait. Look forward to it. Appreciate you, my brother.
All right.
One love, one mic. Ladies and gentlemen, that is Mojave, Mr. Tuesday Night, a.k.a. Iron Man. I'm glad he's feeling better, but continue progress, my brother. One love, one mic.
One love, one mic.
Wow. Man. That ink that he just spit was fire. Pure fire. Ladies and gentlemen, at the tone of time will be 10:56. If you are listening in online, this is the moment where you'd want to stop listening in online and pick up the phone and dial 319-527-6300. Because what will happen is you will get cut off of the live stream and you will no longer be able to hear what happens in the last hour. So dial in. Next up on the mic, we have the CEO himself, none other than Arthur Larry Maddox, a.k.a. For Real, the Poet Douglas. What it do, baby, baby?
What it do? Shannon Abosha. What's going on, Vange?
Hey, man, just sitting here just soaking all of this in, man. The conversations, you know, the poetry has been fire. I'm just having a good time tonight, man. It just feels so good, you know, to be able to dialogue about relationships and dating, you know, on this platform. You've made it so that we can do this. So we humbly thank you and we appreciate you, CEO.
Hey, man, thank you for being a part of it, man. Without you guys, there is no epiphany, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Broski, you've been listening, you've been hearing the commentary, but now it's time, it is your time, this is your time to say your claim to the conversation of other cultures don't have the problem of being afraid to love each other when it comes to relationships, or do they? And, of course, the caveat question is...
Well.
Interracial relationships, if they didn't have that problem, then why do we have interracial relationships, you know? So let's talk about it for real.
Yeah, that's kind of twisted. It's kind of twisted. I tried to formulate a response as I was listening to, you know, others before me, and I couldn't seem to come up with anything, man. The best thing I could say is this, man. I don't understand the fear that you say our people that exist within our people, because our Nubian sisters are some of the finest gems on this planet. So I can't understand that, man. You know, but I only date Mexicans anyway, so I don't even, you know what I mean? I don't know what's going on with all that. I'm saying, you know, but they fine as hell. But I date Mexicans and Asians, you know, that's my preference. That's my preference. But, you know what I mean? You know what? Some folks are taught, preached, it's in their genes to love their own.
Okay?
Some people are taught, and that's the only way they know how. Some people only vote Republican, where they get that from. Okay? They ain't got nothing to do with what we're talking about, but that was a metaphor for some people are brought up to love their own.
Right.
You know, anything outside of that is disgusting, if you can understand how I'm saying that.
Absolutely.
Now, we have a little bit of that in us. We've taught that, but, you know, it's not like that with us. Personally, I date love, or what I thought was or is love, no matter what package it comes in. Okay? And for some, it's simple. It's simply a preference. When you say interracial marriages, dating, whatever, I think some people just have that preference. Those are some people that are not, haven't been tainted by society's methods of teaching. You know what I'm saying? And you got that across the board, or across the board with certain people. You know, some people just date love and where they believe they can find it. You know, some are taught who and what to love, you know?
Right, right.
You know?
That's
you know,
crazy.
As far as us, when you talk about you fear know, in us, just to add,
you know
what promotes fear in us, we've been brainwashed and tampered with since forever. We've been taught to hate ourselves, hate the color of our own skin. You know, so maybe some people look outside of the skin that we in for that purpose.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know.
You know, it's funny because I truly didn't think about being taught to love your own until you said something. But I remember when I was going to middle school in the 80s, I was going to middle school, and the beginning of segregation was you know, taking fold, and we were going to be integrated with this white school, which was predominantly white. We lived in the projects, but we were bused or had to take public transportation from Lexington Terrace projects all the way to near Fort McHenry, which that whole area in South Baltimore was predominantly white. And, man, it's crazy. My mother said, don't bring the white girls home. I was like, what? And I was like, did she seriously just say that? Right? And my uncle was like, oh, your mother mean it too. I was like, what? Like, I wasn't even thinking about dating at, you know, seventh grade. I wasn't thinking about that.
Right.
But to put that in me at such a young age, well, me being the rebel that I was, what I do, I started dating the white girls. I mean, what?
Right.
Okay, you don't want me to do it. There must be a reason why you don't want me to do it, but I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to do what I want to do. So I did. I dated them. And, but I wasn't looking at color. I was looking at people. And that was a, you know, 12-year-old me. And
right.
Even today, still today, I look at people, not necessarily color. I mean, I know the world is messed up and color is a big thing these days, but we're all people. And but that is a very, very, you know, interesting point about being taught. And I never even realized or even thought about that moment until you literally just said that. And I was like, wow.
Right.
For sure they tell me. And I mean, it was a big, it was a big thing. And I was like, my brother's a year younger. I said, why you ain't telling him that? I said, oh. I said, because it's you the one that I got to worry about. I was like, what? I was like, whatever. But,
okay.
But yeah, man, just, and I've heard the other perspective as well, you know, you know, white girls or white boys being told not to date black, you know, black women.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard that. And, it just makes me upset that we still, in today, we still have these racial issues that we have to deal with. And here we are talking about dating within other cultures. If you love who you love, I mean, so be it. I mean, it's more socially accepted today. I will say that. But it's just amazing at what we're taught at a young age, you know. So, but those are great points. Great points.
Yeah. I mean, it's true, man. You know, if you look at you know, the stuff we see on TV and stuff like that, where the Jewish want you to find a female or a male within that, you know,
yep.
Jew on Jew, you know,
yep.
Italian, Italian. Mm-hmm. So within, even
yep.
within, you know, white as a whole, there's this stuff is still broken down. You know,
right.
The Jewish wouldn't want you to bring home a Scottish person as your future husband or wife, you know. It comes with lineage, keeping the blood, you know what I mean? All kinds
yeah.
of issues and things like that. When you want to really, if you want to really delve into it, you know.
Right. Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely.
People are taught.
Wow.
You know, it's a thing. It's a thing. You know?
Wow.
Then some people get old enough to use their own mind. And they see beauty, and they find love without outside of that. That's when you get that Romeo and Juliet kind of love,
right.
that forbidden love,
uh-huh.
and they go for it.
Yes, sir. Wow. Just phenomenal, bro. Your perspective, wow. You brought back some memories. You truly brought back some memories that I had suppressed. Brother, for being transparent and sharing your perspective, I mean, you said you didn't know what you was going to have to, you know, your thought on it, but you had a lot on it, which we needed to hear.
Yeah, I surprised myself.
Well, my brother, what piece do you want to speak for the masses tonight?
Hey, well, you know what? I found something in my archives. I wish I'd have found something else. I should have saved this one for Iron Sharpened Iron. But this is a prompt, bro. I believe it was from the Soul Cafe. I think it was. But I'm going to try to bring some life to this. I don't think I've ever done this. So as I'm looking at it, I've read it about 15 million times. And every time, the more I read it, the more it stuck to me, and I was like, damn, I should have picked something else. Well, so I'm going to try to bring some life to this piece. Thank you, brother. This is peace.
If anybody can bring life to a piece, it's you, brother.
Hey, man, thank you, bro. But I'm for real. I'm serious, the poet. This piece is called Invisible Love. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The mic is yours, bro.
Muffled cries of transparencies. Can't you hear me? Am I invisible? Inaudible? Love, why have you muted me? Can't you hear me? Hear me singing? Like a ghost banging on glass walls, I can't break through. Fingertips leaving ghost-like fingerprints. I'm intangible. So on this glass partition, I can't make a dent. Screaming to the top of my lungs, let me in. Love, 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 why can't you hear me? If I magically turn into Braille, would you feel me? Feel me? Wondering. I wonder if you could see me, would you touch me, caress me, acknowledge me, or accept me? Love, tell me a story. Love. You're this pain I would give to no one else. You're this pain I would keep to myself, love. Listen to my story. I'm intangible, concentrating hard. I'm trying to move things telepathically. kicking rocks and cans. Lonely are these streets, yet none lonelier than the avenues that run through me. Lonely me, lonely me, surrounded I be by all these peeps, but no one sees me. No one's heart beats for me. Broken are the arrows Cupid holds when it comes to me. Like promises unkept, fading. Faded are the memories of a few times where things were sweet. Love, God. I know that Adam was the first, but why do I feel like that I'm the last man on this earth, left with no one, with no one to see me? Is it that I won't sell my soul, that I've been left all alone? Can you hear me? Hear me? I don't even know where I'm at. I'm lost. So much time has passed. I'm gone. Do you miss me? Miss me? Miss me? Tell me a story, love. What about true love? Kodak of love, sickness, picture that, your image, the cure, producing these smiles, despite the miles, distance, or roadblocks, I find myself reminiscing on times where we held each other before, before, love, I'd love to be held some more, I miss you, so I'll wait, 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 wait. It's only a matter of time, so I'll wait a while. Eternity is infinite, worth, well worth it. At the end is bliss, gift wrapped, sealed with a kiss. Picture that, then frame it. Precious wonderments, Polaroids in hand, glossy finish. Praying on this pic that has both of us in it. Living through pictures, loving each image, closed eyes, smile. I'm that braille felt by the hands of the Most High. He fills me now. Love, why don't you tell me a story? One made up. What about true love, happiness and shit, huh? When it's written, finally written, I bet you, I bet you, I bet you that I'm not in it. Not your story, love. You passed me by, came to me, touched me, allowed me to feel you. Shit, I was consumed by you, lifted, moved by you. Now you're just the thing that used to be. You left me. I'm intangible. I can no longer touch you. I'm invisible. You can't see me. I'm invisible to love. Invisible. Love. 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 You're the pain I would give to no one else. You're this pain I keep to myself. Tell me a fucking story. One where I can see, one where you can see me. Tell me a story, love. Do you hear me, love? Oh, I forgot that I'm invisible. For real.
Yo, you still there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, all right. bro, this was good. This was really, really good. When you said, "Love, you're the pain I wouldn't give to anyone else," bro, that hurt. Like hurt. But that is some serious truth right there, man. This was a dope piece for real. The poets, amazing, right? And you definitely gave it life, like you said. You know, you definitely gave it life. There were just so many other things about this piece that I enjoyed, man. And you, it actually felt like that you had love on trial during this piece. Like, you know,
yeah.
And I was just, you know, amazing. Just, man, just phenomenal ink, bro. Phenomenal ink.
Hey, well, thank you, brother. Thank you, my brother. I appreciate it.
Nah, man, I thank you. I thank you. Hey, man, you want to let people know what you got going on? I mean, you semi-retired, but you want to let people know what you got going on?
Hey, man, I got to do this. I got this. I'm selling sheetrock on the corner of Broad Mifflin, two for $1.50 for 50 cents. Monday nights. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. I'm 4/5 host on a Soul Cafe. 3/4 the whole show over there at the Inspiration Factory. Hey, we got some things coming up for y'all in store. We want y'all to stay tuned to Epiphany Radio each and every day of the week. Hey, we do something 7 days a week over here at Epiphany Radio. And listen, listen, listen. We got some new stuff in store for you. The station manager and I, we're watching you. We're watching you. And just stay tuned. We got some new shit about to hit the waves. Baby,
we see
baby.
You. We see you.
We see you. We see you. And some
take
of
your
you,
socks
we
off.
Smell you. Baby, baby. Mm-hmm. That's right.
All right, my brother.
Mm-hmm.
One
that's
love,
right,
one
Brian.
Mic.
Get yourself an
today.
Asian woman, man. You'll be all right.
Oh, man. Good.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I do love Asian cuisine, so that might not be too bad, actually.
Hey, man. Hey, yeah. I was going to say something else, but this is a halfway family program. Yeah, you like it in between. You said what?
My brother, I'm going to get you over to the VIP lounge.
Oh,
don't go
doing,
over
bro.
There to the curtain where the security team is. Danielle,
don't mess
the
curtain.
Over there. Yeah, don't mess the curtain.
I don't go near Danielle.
Oh.
I don't do none of that stuff. I keep my leg crossed at all times. Mm-hmm. All right, bro. Shiboy. I'm out. I'm out of this joint.
Ladies and gentlemen, for real, the poet Douglas, baby, baby.
Baby. Mm-hmm. One love.
One love, one mic.
One mic.
Oh, man, he is crazy. He is crazy. Oh, man. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about next week's show. I mean, week after next show, right? Let's just talk about it. Part one was diving deeper into why there is this apprehension or fear of dating each other within our culture. Tonight we're discussing other cultures don't have that problem, or do they? And the plot twist on this one was, if they don't have the problem, then what's the uprising of the interracial relationships? So, next week's show, ooh, I'm sorry, I keep saying next week. Sorry, La Perla Negra. But the week after is, can we find a solution as of to how to eliminate this fear, if you will? Can we find a solution? Frill the Poet says that he doesn't understand how anyone can be afraid. But yet his preference is he dates Mexican women. But can we find a solution? Now, one of the important things that he brought tonight was what we're taught. What we're taught. And I completely ignore the fact of what I was told before I went to junior high school. Plays a huge part in our line of thinking. So I'm curious to see in a couple of weeks how we respond to this. Can we find a solution? So, join us tomorrow night for the Inspiration Factory with your host, Divine Inspiration, and yours truly, Poetic. Monday night is going to be King and Queen's Quarters with Queen Simmons and King Atterbury. Tuesday night, you heard from Mojave, Honey Dripper 2.0, and he's got five features that's going to just give it all to the men, you know, kind of like we did to the ladies. Wednesday night's going to be the Erotic Love Zone with Miss VIP and La Perla Negra. Thursday night's going to be the Get Down with J-Rob, the Wise Son, and yours truly, Poetic. Friday night's going to be Iron Sharpens Irons with your host, Anonymity, and guest hosting with him is La Perla Negra. And then on next Saturday, it will be Poetic Therapy with La Perla Negra and Stan the Man Phillips. So, let me start by saying thank you, first and foremost, to the poets, the listeners, and those of you who pressed one to share a little bit of yourself in tonight's topic. I'm very humble that you chose to do so, and you spent 2 hours with me, dating me. Man, I had so many dates tonight. I love it. But these are conversations that we must have, things that we must talk about, because if we're going to heal, if there's going to be healing, then we got to get through the difficult stuff so that we can heal. So I'll say it till I'm blue in the face. Without you, there is no Epiphany Radio. So we don't take your time for granted. We appreciate you. We love you. And we will see you tomorrow night in the Inspiration Factory so we can continue this healing process. So, one love, one mic. Remember to take your socks off. Baby, baby. Peace.